Welcome back to the Pistols Firing Podcast. My name is Kyle Porter. It is Easter weekend, and a little different Easter weekend than I think a lot of us were anticipating. Just hanging out at home this Easter weekend, which is obviously unusual. That gives us an opportunity to have some more guests on. Everybody is just kind of hanging and wants to talk. And we had Phil Forte on today. Phil was great. He's currently an assistant coach at Sam Houston State. He was previously a GA at St. Louis for Travis Ford, and then obviously had a great five-year career at Oklahoma State before that. So had a lot of fun with him talking about just Oklahoma State and what life is like as a coach. A little Marcus Smart talk in there, so hope you guys enjoy this one. Let's get to this week's guest, Phil Forte, brought to you by Chris's University Spirit, your one-stop cowboy shop on Campus Corner. And be sure to shop online at chrisuniversityspirit.com. Okay, we've got Phil Forte. Phil, I think Oklahoma State fans keep up with former players and stuff, but I don't know how many know that you are currently an assistant coach at Sam Houston State. Well, first of all, how's the quarantine life going for you? What have you been doing?
Just staying inside pretty much like everybody out there. For us, right now, we're trying to fill our roster still. We still got a couple spots we got to fill. So calling, watching film on kids, usually this time we're out recruiting, and it makes it difficult because we can't have contact with any kids. And so you have to do it all off film and you're calling coaches. And so right now that's the majority of where my time goes. It's made it a little different and can't have visits or anything like that with all the Corona stuff going on. So just pretty much doing the same thing as everybody else, you know, watching Netflix shows and all that good stuff.
So you're because you probably travel out a lot or quite a bit, and mm-hmm. So you're just working from home like the rest of us.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and so the good thing is with what I do, all I need is my cell phone,
yeah,
and my laptop. And so I mean, it's different for sure, but just trying to take it day by day, because unfortunately this stuff doesn't look like it's going to be ending anytime soon.
Yeah, I agree. I'm curious about, so your career ends at Oklahoma State and you move on to St. Louis with Travis Ford. What was the interim like? Were there opportunities to go play pro ball, or did you kind of made up your mind that you were going to get into coaching? What did all that look like?
I think I knew pretty quickly that I wasn't going to keep playing. Right when the season was over, I took a couple weeks off, and I just knew, you know, I knew I always wanted to get into coaching and do that. And I think mentally, I was just kind of done. I think my body was done that last year at Oklahoma State. My body just took a toll, and I just didn't think that I could constantly put in the work that I'm used to doing to compete at the level that I wanted to compete at. And so if I couldn't do that anymore, I figured I don't need to be trying to play. And I always wanted to get into coaching, so I figured try to get in at a young age and kind of get the ball rolling from there.
So you spent a couple years with Travis Ford at St. Louis and then on to Sam Houston State. What was that transition like? Because you were, I believe, a grad assistant at St. Louis and then get on as, to me, a pretty young assistant at Sam Houston State. How did that opportunity open up, and what was that transition like?
Yeah, it's kind of funny how it happened. You know, I was planning on staying on staff at St. Louis as a player development support staff role there. And then I go to the Final Four, run into the head coach here, and he's been here 10 years. And so he was familiar with me growing up in the state of Texas. He had watched me play for several years, and met him at the airport, talked to him for a couple minutes. Month goes by, they have a spot open up, and he reaches out and said that he wanted me to come down and interview for the job. So it kind of weird deal happened last minute. I was probably a week away from signing a lease in an apartment in St. Louis. And so it all happened so fast. And but definitely it was a great opportunity for me to just take another step towards, you know, hopefully one day becoming a head coach. That's, you know, everyone's goal. So being closer to home, where I played, where I'm from. And so it was a great opportunity that I definitely couldn't pass up.
I always think about this because when I played high school and a little bit of college baseball, and you know, as an adult, like later on, you look back and you're like, oh, I didn't see things like that when I was a player. What is it like being on the other side of it, to where you're looking at players now and you're like, you don't understand this right now, but you will whenever you're 6, 7, 8 years down the road.
I think is the thing that they don't, and I didn't either as a player, they just don't realize, you know, how much goes into just practice.
Yeah.
And the conversations that are had. Now, if you're a player, you show up for practice for those 2 hours, you go home, you go back to your dorm. I mean, if you're a coach, like you're, that 2 hours of practice is such a small percentage of your day.
Yeah.
You know, and like what builds up to it? What are you going to do in practice? What do you want to talk about? How can I motivate the guy?
Mm.
You're just constantly thinking about a way to improve your team. I mean, even when you leave practice, you're at home, you're constantly thinking about something, whether it's recruiting, whether it's about your guys academically, the game plan, the scout report. It's always something that's on your mind. And so that's the one thing that players just don't understand. I didn't either. I mean, I had no idea. And so that's just the main transition from player to coach, is when practice is over, I mean, you're not done. You know, if there's an off day, like there's no off day for us. And, but there's just, it's a lot of preparation that goes into it. But for me, it's fun. You know, I enjoy it. It's something I've been a part, basketball's been a part of my life forever. And so I don't wake up and feel like it's a job, or feel that I have to go sit at this 8 to 5. And so I'm enjoying it. I like our guys that we have, and it definitely makes it worthwhile.
Yeah. I'm curious about what, because you're with Travis Ford for a while from playing and then mm-hmm. coaching. What was the biggest thing that you took away from your time with him that you kind of apply as an assistant coach now and as a leader?
I think the one thing I learned just being around Coach Ford is how hard he works. I mean, he works really, really hard and invests so much time, especially in the season, on just, it might be the smallest detail, but he's going to try to figure out every little thing he can just to give him or his team the smallest edge to win possible. And I think he's really good at building relationships with his players. I think that's one thing that he's really, really good at. He'll call them in throughout the season and have meetings with them one-on-one, and even if it's 10 minutes. But just as a player's perspective, those 10 minutes mean a lot because it's outside of practice. You know, just getting – it could be about asking about your girlfriend, your family back home, just little things like that, whether it's 5 or 10 minutes a day, just investing in the kid's life, I think goes a long way. From a player's perspective. And so when they get on the court, it makes them realize, like, okay, he cares for me as a person, not just as a basketball player. So those are the two things I think I learned the most from him, is how he can relate to his guys, and each player's different. And you can't coach every player the same way.
Yeah.
You got to figure out which buttons to push, when to push them, and what makes those players good. And so just like any coach, there's so many ways to do it. There's not a right or wrong way. But I definitely did learn a lot playing for him and then my 2 years there as a GA as well.
Yeah, I think it's been cool because, you know, obviously it didn't work out in Stillwater, but I think his legacy as an OSU coach among OSU fans has actually aged pretty well. Like, I think people look at it and they're like, yeah, it didn't work out. But look, like, he actually, like, hit all the right notes in terms of caring about the right things and saying the right stuff. I don't know. Even I was talking to I was talking to Dave Hunsucker the other day. He was on here and mm-hmm. just talking about how, like, even at the end of his tenure at Oklahoma State, he handled everything really well. And he was just kind of a pro about everything. And so, I don't know. I obviously, basketball-wise, it didn't go great, especially at the end. But I do think that people look back and are not – it's not like a, you know, an era that you want to just completely forget.
No, for sure. And I think – and I learned that as well. I remember my last year when I was sitting out, watching him go through all that, you feel for him because he always put the blame on himself.
Yeah.
Like every time he got answered, you know, had to answer questions, talk to media, is always, I got to do better. I got to do this. I got to help improve our team. I mean, we had like 7 guys, you know, like Cody McElroy was like the second, third guy off the bench. Like we had no bodies. I say that, I mean, guys in the NFL now, but you know, so he was always trying to find a way, like, how could I help my team out? It didn't matter who was on the court. He was always going to try to figure out a way. And so I think, you know, we won when he was at Oklahoma State. Yeah. We just didn't win big. You know, we didn't win big. And so I think like anything, I think he's learned a lot as well. And I think whether it was we won three or four games in a row or we lost three or four, he was the same. He was the same every day in practice. You knew what you were going to get out of Coach Ward. He never has a bad day. He brings it every single day. His energy, his focus is always the same. And that's what was so impressive to me is even as a GS show up top, I'd be tired. And I'm looking at the head coach, I'm like, God, like, if he's not tired, how can I not? Like, I can't be tired. Yeah. And so that's really what's impressed me. He just brings it every single day.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, yeah, there were, I mean, there were high points. Like there were seasons that it's like, oh man, this is pretty awesome. I think the sustained level of success for a really long time is the part that I mean, you look at somewhere like Kansas and you're like, what the hell? Like, how do they, I don't understand how you do this year after year after year. Tell me this. So I think it's pretty obvious who the best player you played with was at Oklahoma State, but who's the most underrated guy that you played with? Cause your career spanned a lot of different guys. You played with these most recent guys, the Lindy Waters, Cam McGriff, but you also played with, the Markell and like that crew that was kind of at the end of their tenure when you got there.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, Mark, like he's not underrated. Like he's a pro. Right. Everyone knows how good Markell is. I think the first guy that pops in my head is Anthony Hickey. You know, he came in from LSU, had 1 year left. And honestly, I think he saved our season. We didn't really have a point guard. You know, coming into that year, like Coach Ford was like, think about playing me at the point. I was a junior. We had Tyree, who's a freshman. We didn't really have a point, and we got him midsummer. He came in and he kind of had his battles with Coach Ford and just the new program and all that. And he, by conference play, I mean, he was playing really, really well. And I think, you know, we don't make the NCAA tournament if we don't have Anthony Hickey. I think he was tough. He just was a dog. Like he brought it every single day as well. And just, I don't think from a fan's perspective, they really see what he brought to our team. Cause I don't think we make the NCAA tournament without him, honestly, that year.
Yeah. So he averaged his senior year. So LeBron averaged 17, you averaged 15. Hickey averaged 10, 4, and 3, throughout the season.
Yeah.
Which
is that's good numbers. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty good numbers.
That's pretty solid. Yeah. You know, the guy that I was talking about the other day with somebody, we had written on our site, we were kind of going through like the most underrated guys of all time. And so we were going pretty far back, like the Eddie Sutton years. But LeBron to me was always underrated because I think that, you know, he comes in as like this top 10 guy in the country or whatever. And I think you expect, especially in this era, guys like that to be like one and done, two and done, whatever. But he, like the numbers that he averaged all 4 years, and he did it with, I mean, he didn't miss games. Like he was just, to me, he was super consistent. And I'm curious about what it was like to play with him and just kind of how you guys viewed him.
Yeah. And I think, for me, and you make some great points. I see exactly what you're saying. Like, I think LB was so good. Like, I don't think he's underrated. But I get what you're saying as far as if he comes in, he's supposed to be, you know, the one and done. And like, I remember when I was in high school, you know, him putting the cowboy hat on. And he kind of, like, made Oklahoma State.
I know.
He kind of created that Dallas pipeline in that era, in that, you know, span. You know, then Marcus comes and Juwan comes and – because in Dallas, like he was like supposed to be, like you said, top five pick the next year.
Yeah.
And but the thing that like he didn't really get caught up in that. I mean, he just was very consistent. No one could stop him. Like he just could score the ball at an elite level. And he was a guy that was very consistent each and every year. Did it work out for him in the NBA? No. But he had a heck of a college career. I mean. Yeah. He's what, top five in scoring all time?
Yeah.
I mean, he was very consistent. And I think the best thing for LB was being around Marcus those 2 years.
Yeah.
just seeing like what it means to bring it every day in practice. And even Markel, like Markel and Marcus were very similar in that fact. And I think that kind of rubbed off on him a little bit. And then when they left, he kind of just continued that, what he kind of learned from them. But I mean, as far as a practice, I mean, LB was great. He's a great guy to be around. And hopefully we'll see what he has left here. And if we do that TBT here in a month
well,
or so.
Well, that's what I was going to ask about. It, you know, who knows when anything's going to happen, but how excited are you to kind of get back together with some of those guys and the current guys? Are you worried about your knees at all? Like what's the deal here?
I'll tell somebody, I got to go through a 2-week boot camp or something. Just for me, I view it for me. I'm just excited. I get to see a bunch of these guys that I haven't seen in a while, because we're all pretty much still around the game of basketball.
Yeah.
So our seasons are all during the same time and everyone's busy. And so it's hard to see people. And so that was really why I wanted to do it. Like, I don't care how much I play. I don't play anymore. I'll just go in the corner and, you know, if I'm open, I'll shoot it. And that's about all I'll do. But
yeah,
I think what'll make it fun is, I mean, I played with everybody except for Marshall.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that's the cool part, is just being able to be on the floor with those guys again. I think we do have a good team. I mean, the competition and that thing's really good.
Yeah.
But we have a good team, and so it'll just be fun to kind of go back and kind of just play with those guys again.
Yeah, you'll be like the Bruce Bowen probably of that team.
No problem doing that.
Little defense, little three. It is funny because you probably run into guys in that event and you're like, shouldn't you like be in the NBA or something? Like,
yeah.
I think, you know, you look at somebody even like Marcus Smart, and I'm curious about, just from your perspective, what separates guys that make it. Like he's, you know, completely made it. He's a legit piece on a really good team, and guys that don't fall short, that are not good. Like what's the thing that he does that you look around and you're like, man, that I just, either I can't do that or other people fall short of that or whatever.
Yeah, the thing about Marcus is you don't realize, and obviously at OSU he put up really big numbers, but you don't realize what he does for your team until you coach him or you play with him.
Yeah.
And then you really get to see what he does and just how he impacts the game. I mean, we would keep deflections. When I was playing Oklahoma State, and at halftime, everyone had an initial of how many deflections. I think there's a rule, if you get like 40 or 35 plus deflections, you're going to win, you know, 90 something percent of the time. And so that was our goal, to try to get a certain amount of deflections. There'd be times at halftime, Marcus had like 10. Like, it's unbelievable. I mean, he's the best team I've ever played with. And I'm a little biased, sure, but just how he impacts winning. And when you're on his team in practice and in the game, you don't feel like you're going to lose.
Yeah.
Like, you just don't. His presence, so he's constantly talking. I mean, the best practice player I've ever seen in my life. It didn't matter if it was a walkthrough. He was locked in, diving on the floor. I mean, National Player of the Year, like, you couldn't take him out of practice. Like, usually, or National Freshman Player of the Year, like, you get guys that come in, like, oh, we got Kansas tomorrow. Like, I need to save my legs. Like, yeah. You had to beg him to come out.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't, it didn't matter if it was the third string guy in there. Like, he was going full speed every single time. When you walk in a gym, I mean, you just notice him right away. Yeah. I mean, there's a reason the Celtics signed him to a $54 million deal for 4 years. And, I mean, let's all call it what it is. Like, he's not a great shooter in the NBA. Like, he'd get mad if I told him that, but he's not. But he just made, like, he doesn't matter. Like, that's how much the kid wins.
Well, I think,
that, you know what I mean? Like, it's crazy. And there's not many guys like that. And the Celtics are a team that's trying to win a championship, and you got to have a guy like that.
Yeah.
You do. And that's what I'm saying. You just don't really appreciate what he does for your team until you coach him or you're part of it and you actually get to see, oh, wow. Like, he just really impacts winning at a high, high level.
He'd probably ask you if you've ever made 11 threes in an NBA game.
I told him, I go, you know, the 11 threes is impressive, but he shot like 23 threes that game. I go, how do you get 23 up? Like, that's the most, I was shocked. We had a game that night, and people are texting me, Marcus 11 threes. I'm like, oh, some thinking he was like 11 for 14.
Or, yeah.
Like, Marcus, how'd you get up 23 attempts?
I mean, it's seriously, it's like one every 2 minutes, which is astonishing, whatever you think about it. But no, I think your point is good. And I've heard Mike Gundy talk about this with Tylan Wallace, somebody who, you know, mm-hmm. on the football side, it's like when your best guy is also your hardest worker, that matters in a way that fans don't, or just any people don't mm-hmm. see, you know, and it doesn't only affect the current team you're on, but it affects future teams because young guys, freshmen and sophomores are like, oh, that's what being a pro looks like. So I think that's, mm-hmm. I don't know. That's really interesting. Okay. Last thing, and we'll get you out of here. What is your favorite game? When you think about your career at Oklahoma State, and I say best game, favorite game, just one, if you had to pick one, is it the at Kansas? What's the game?
Man, it comes down to two. There's two. Obviously, that Kansas game, my freshman year, I think they're one or two in the country and won 40-something games in a row. Anytime you win at Allen Fieldhouse, it's you can't go wrong with that, especially growing up a huge Kansas fan my whole life. I mean, that game was unbelievable. We're up 18 at half. We're all looking at each other in the locker room like, how do we not lose this lead? Like, how do we? Because you know they're going to make a run. Yeah. It's like, how do we not lose this? And I'll never forget, after we win, you know, everyone knows Marcus is a backflip. We get on the bus. We're going back to Stillwater. And he looks at me. He's kind of like, do you think the backflip was a little much? I go, dude, people don't win here. Like, that never happens. So who cares? Like, people, like, you don't understand, Mark. Like, people don't win an Allen Fieldhouse like that. So I was like, no, like, it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And then, obviously, the Bedlam game my senior year. That was, for me, my last year to beat them at their place. We hadn't done it in, whatever, 10 years. And to beat them at the buzzer the way we did it my last year, that was awesome. Awesome moment, too.
Yeah. That's great. Well, hey, Phil, thanks for your time, man. Good luck at Sam Houston State, and stay inside. Good luck this summer. Hopefully that, you know, even if it doesn't happen this year, the TBT thing, hopefully it'll happen in the future, and you can just stand in the corner, get 23 threes up again, and see what happens.
There we go. That's fine. I'll play my role. I got no problem doing it.
All right. Thanks, Phil. Appreciate your time, man.
All right, Kyle. Have a good one, man.
Bye. Okay, that was Phil Forte. Really enjoyed talking to him. He is really good. I mean, you know, you have different people on here, and a lot of them, it's like, hey, can we go an hour? That's what I'm thinking in my head, because I could ask a million questions, and most of them are just really good and really fun to talk to. But yeah, as always, just try to be respectful of their time. Phil was really good and had a lot of interesting things to say. I was really curious to kind of talk to him about different guys that he played with. And then also just obviously what it's like to be a coach now. I thought it was funny to talk about like just how he sees things differently as a coach than he did as a player. And I think that's natural. And, you know, look, like he's a really young coach. I think the trajectory, you know, that's not really my world, but the trajectory of somebody at his age having an assistant job that's pretty decent, you know, Sam Houston's a halfway decent D1 program. If you're talking about nationally, that's pretty good. And he's well connected. Obviously the Travis Ford connection, and, you know, it was interesting to hear him talk about just meeting people, at the Final Four. I've heard that from other coaches. You just go and you just talk to people and meet them, and I don't know, stuff just like happens there. It's kind of an intriguing deal. So let's hear one more time from Chris's University Spirit, and we'll come back with my one big takeaway from talking to Phil Forte.
Chris's University Spirit on Campus Corner in Stillwater, Oklahoma is proud to be your one-stop cowboy shop since 1986 and proud sponsor of this podcast, Pistols Firing. They specialize in custom-printed Oklahoma State apparel and merchandise and pride themselves on their excellent customer service. They also offer a full line of custom Greek apparel and can even outfit your Little League team head-to-toe. They're located at the corner of 3rd and Knobloch on historic Campus Corner. You can follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and be sure to shop online at chrisuniversityspirit.com. Shop Stilly, shop Chris's University Spirit.
Okay, I think my big takeaway from talking to Phil Forte is just his, affection, I don't know if that's the right word, but just his allegiance to Travis Ford. And I think the reason, I was just kind of thinking about that as I was talking to him. I do think that the way Travis Ford is thought about is, at least within OSU circles, is as somebody who was, yeah, maybe unsuccessful as a coach in the long term. He definitely was, because he got let go of. But again, just somebody who kind of handled everything pretty well. You know, there were moments where it was like, that wasn't great. Should have done this differently. There were bumps along the way for sure. But a lot of his stuff around, like, remember the 10, and I don't know, he just him still representing Oklahoma State, I think that is a really, it's a meaningful thing. It's not, it doesn't go unnoticed. And for Forte to just talk about how, like, hey, I took from him this work ethic and this desire to be a hard worker, to be disciplined, to be responsible, to be even keeled. I think that's a really cool thing, because I think that no matter who you look up to, no matter who your mentors are, no matter who your role models are, there's always positives to take away from different people in your life. And it's clear that Forte has taken a lot of those from Ford and kind of applied them to his time at Sam Houston State. So I'm really intrigued to see where his career goes. He's clearly an engaging and smart guy. And I wish him all the success and all the best as he moves forward. So that's it for us. We've got a bunch of podcasts in the queue, a bunch more coming out next week. We've been just kind of grinding them out. So it's been a lot of fun. Thanks again to Phil Forte for coming on. Thanks to all of you for listening, as always. Stay safe, stay quarantined, be outside when you can, and read more books. We'll talk to you soon.